beloved in the Lord. Let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you. O Lord, let your merciful ears be attentive to the prayers of your servants, and by your word and spirit, teach us how to pray, that our petitions may be pleasing before you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Apostlestide is from the first book of Moses called Genesis in the 18th chapter. Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of those 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." And he answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." And then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." And he answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but just this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went on his way, and when he had finished speaking to Abraham, Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
On the day I called, you answered me.
My strength and soul increased.
I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness.
For you are exalted above all things, your name and your word.
On the day I called, you answered me.
My strength of soul you increased.
All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord.
For they have heard.
And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord.
For great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly.
But the haughty he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life.
You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
On the day I called, you answered me.
My strength of soul.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, the second chapter. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him, through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and the worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Don't bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. What do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading from Luke chapter 11. I'll read the beginning of it again. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Our focus this morning is especially on the petition about forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. This is our text. The first thing that I ought to make clear is that you probably noticed a few things missing from the Lord's Prayer in Luke's Gospel. The short answer is this: Jesus teaches his disciples to pray both in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke, and the words are slightly different. It's a beautiful thing when we pray the Lord's Prayer together in the very words that have been given to us from Matthew's Gospel, but here in Luke we also learn that we can pray in the same, similar, or related words as well. Now, when we hear the Lord's Prayer, and this is true in both Matthew's version and Luke's version, and when we pray it together, there are two places where people tend to get heartburn. They are the fifth and sixth petitions. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation. Today we're going to leave the temptation part to the side and take up the prayer for forgiveness, what we call the fifth petition. Now, it's no surprise that we sometimes struggle to pray these words, because at face value it sounds like our being forgiven depends on whether we forgive others or on how well we forgive them. That little word "as," forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Which brings the question, and I mean it's an actual question because I've had emails and conversations about it: what happens to someone who is a Christian but struggles to forgive or can't forgive? The place to begin is with this: forgiveness is never easy. Never. And you know this as well as I do. It's never easy, and it is never cheap. There's a cost to it. Sometimes it's painful, excruciatingly painful. For example, if someone owes me $50 and I cancel that debt, I don't get that money back. I'm still out $50, a dinner or a new pair of jeans. If someone gossips about me and slanders my reputation and I forgive them, that doesn't restore my reputation. It may not even change how people who heard those things think about me. And if, God forbid, someone were to harm one of my children, and I were to forgive that person, my child wouldn't be restored to me unharmed and whole. Forgiveness doesn't undo physical and emotional scars. And it certainly isn't the same thing, to forgive someone isn't the same thing as saying that what they did was no big deal. Sometimes that's how forgiveness seems to us. If I forgive them, I'm saying it's no big deal. That's not what forgiveness means. And forgiveness doesn't mean that we're pretending like everything's just fine. In other words, forgiveness doesn't put everything in reverse. It isn't like pressing the rewind and going back to the beginning. Life isn't a video game where we can start over when we mess up or when someone else messes it up for us. Just ask your Lord, the very one who taught us to pray these words, the very one who taught us to say, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." He gave us this prayer. He gave us these words while he was on his way to a cross outside Jerusalem. And why was his face set toward the cross? you know, for the forgiveness of sins. Yours, mine, the world's, and that guy who sinned against you. So you don't need to tell Jesus how hard forgiveness is, how challenging it is to forgive someone. You don't need to tell him about how it doesn't come easily or cheaply and that it requires cost and brings pain. You can tell him those things, but he already knows. He was crucified. It was not just his wallet or his reputation that took the hit. It was his body and his life to the very last breath. And no, forgiving sins doesn't take away his scars. Indeed, it's for our sins that his hands and side have those scars. So don't think that forgiveness is such an easy thing for God and such a hard thing for you. I think that's the mistake we sometimes make. Oh, the forgive us our trespasses part, that's really easy for God. But the as we forgive those who trespass against us, now that's hard. God didn't wave a magic wand to deal with sin. God sent his son to die, his only son. And I dare say that's way more than either you or I have done. In other words, when we pray, forgive us our trespasses, it's the same as saying to God, crucify your son. Because that's what forgiveness of me requires. And when we add, as we forgive those who trespass against us, it's like him saying back to us, I crucified my son for them also. You see, your Lord paid both sides of the equation. He paid for your sins, and he paid for their sins, whoever they happen to be. Those who trespass against us. And just who is that? Who are you praying for when you pray these words? I mean it, real people, names and faces and places and times. Whose sins have you been holding on to, storing up in your heart and in your mind, counting and keeping track of? Even those who like numbers find keeping track of other people's sins to be tedious, but we do it anyway. Is it your father? Mother, son, daughter, wife, husband, co-worker? Would you like Christ to come down from the cross and put them up there instead? Make them suffer, bleed, and die for what they've said or done? God knows they deserve it. And so do I. You know, too often I think we act as if our sin is no big deal, but her sin, his sin, why, they're the worst ever. And there's no denying it. Their sins are bad, and so are mine. And think about it. Isn't that why we pray the Lord's Prayer so often? We pray the Lord's Prayer sometimes daily, sometimes multiple times in a day, and every Sunday for sure. Forgive us our trespasses, over and over and over again. Why ask God to forgive our sins so often? Isn't that a bit much? We're not that bad, are we? Yes, we are. Because that's how often we sin. When Martin Luther explained the fifth petition in the Small Catechism, he said we pray these words because we sin daily and much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. Daily and much, and deserve nothing but punishment. Maybe it sounds harsh, but it's true. And we are saying that not simply about our neighbors who've sinned against us, we're saying that about ourselves. And what would happen if God chose not to forgive our sins, but instead if God chose to look at our sins and remember them, what would happen when we prayed? If he were to hold on to one of our sins, even just a small one of our sins, and say, well, Christ paid for sins, but not for this one. If God were to hold on to a little sin, and if he were looking at our sins, then how would he hear our prayers? And you know that he wouldn't. He would hear them, but he would deny our prayers. If a single one of our sin had not been tacked to Christ, He would not hear our prayers and answer them. He wouldn't give us anything that we pray for. If he didn't forgive our sins for Christ's sake, he wouldn't make his name holy among us. His kingdom wouldn't come to us. He wouldn't break or hinder the evil plans and purposes of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. He wouldn't even give us our daily bread if he was looking at our sins. He wouldn't protect us in temptation. He wouldn't deliver us from the evil one and all his works and all his ways. Forgive us our trespasses every single day. And you know, I find that's how often I need his help in forgiving others as well. I need his help daily and much to forgive the sins of others, just as I need daily and much the forgiveness that he shows to me. And you know there's a cost to not forgiving sins as well, right? I'm sure you do. To hold on to other people's sins costs us something. It costs us peace and joy. It costs us sleep and contentment. It leads to bitterness, resentment, and grudges. It's like a poison that ruins everything. When we refuse to forgive others, it poisons even the good things that God gives us. Is that a cost you really want to pay? So what are we praying when we pray this petition? We're praying for our forgiveness to match God's forgiveness. We're praying for our forgiveness to match God's forgiveness. We're not saying, God will never forgive me until I forgive others. That'd be like Jesus showing up to the paralytic, and before he says, your sins are forgiven, asking him, have you forgiven everyone else first? When the sinful woman comes and bathes his feet with ointment, and he says that her sins are forgiven, it would be like him stopping and saying, wait, first let me make sure you've forgiven everyone else first. It's not like that. It's not like Jesus is going to say, well, I'll match your forgiveness. His forgiveness is greater than ours could ever be, and we are praying that our forgiveness would match his. We're praying that he would forgive our sins and he would give us spirits of forgiveness, hearts that forgive. We're praying that he would set his forgiveness baking in our hearts so that it's ready to be extended and given as soon as the offender asks for it. When we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, we're asking our dear Father in heaven to make us like the father of the prodigal son, ready to run to that person with arms open and full forgiveness. Are you there yet? Maybe, and maybe not. And that's why we pray this prayer. Jesus is not saying, once you've got forgiveness straightened out in your life, then come to me. Jesus says, I'm here for you now, and I'll straighten out the forgiveness in your life as well. We're asking for his help in the Lord's Prayer every time we pray it because we know that forgiveness is hard. We can't say, forgive us our trespasses, while saying, but don't forgive that person. But I know we sometimes feel it. We sometimes think it. And so we begin, forgive us. And think about that little word, us. Often when I pray that petition of the Lord's Prayer, I'm kind of thinking of myself and my own sins. But we don't say, just forgive me, forgive us. Who is the us? Forgive me and the one who sinned against me. Forgive me and my father, my mother. Forgive me and my brother, my sister. Forgive me and my son, my daughter. Jesus told us to ask, and it would be given. He said that if we seek, we will find. He said to knock, and the door will be opened to us. Dear friends, if we think this is a blank check to get the greatest thing we can imagine physically in this life, it's not. But if we apply this to forgiveness, it's a beautiful thing. Ask for forgiveness, and it will be given. Knock on the door of forgiveness, and it will be opened to you. Seek for forgiveness, and you will find it. Not apart from Christ, but in him. So if you're lacking forgiveness, If you wonder about this petition sometimes when you pray it, are my sins really forgiven because I have a hard time forgiving that person? If you struggle to forgive, then you've come to the right place. Because when your friend shows up asking you for forgiveness and you open the cupboards of your heart and you don't find any there, then come knock on the Heavenly Father's door, because he's got lots and plenty to spare. Receive the absolution. Take and eat. Take and drink for the forgiveness of your sins. And I want to add a word practically speaking. What does it look like to ask and give forgiveness in a relationship? In a home, a family, a marriage, whatever it might be. This is how I picture it. You have the one who has sinned and the one who has been sinned against. And the one who has sinned says to the other, "Please forgive me in Jesus' name," which is like saying, "Please see the crucifix between us and see my sin. And I am saying that my sin deserved that, to be crucified." And when the other person says, "I forgive you," it's not saying it's no big deal. It's saying, "Yes, I acknowledge that your sin deserved that, but I'm going to see your death on Christ. Someone had to die for your sins, but thank God it was him." So when you have a need to confess to someone else or a need to forgive someone else's sin, take a crucifix down from your wall and hold it between you and see your sins and their sins there on Christ. And let the sin die there with him. If you look into your own heart to forgive the one who sinned against you, I'm sure you won't find enough. But look to the cross. Cling to Jesus. Look to the forgiveness that comes from him and seek the forgiveness that is worked by the Holy Spirit. "But I can't forgive," you still say. "I'll never forgive," you say. "I don't feel forgiving toward them." "What more do you want?" Jesus asks. "What more?" he says, with his bruised eye and swollen face, with the blood streaming down, with the holes in his hands. "I can't forgive," you say. "I can," he says, "and I do." And he's not waiting for you. He's already paid the full price for you and for your neighbor. "You are forgiven," Christ says, and his forgiveness is enough. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, my God.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
May your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Cliff, Kay, John, Frank, Sherry, Daniel, Rich, Melanie, Lindsay, Tony, Mike and Nancy, John, Lucy, Ed, Alicia, Nancy, John, Helene, Matthew, Anthony, Ted, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Sustain all expectant mothers and the children they carry, especially Kristen, Melinda, Allie, Brooke, Shayla, Alyssa, and Joelle. Bless all married couples and their families, especially John and Aaron Kate, Liam and Megan. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy, to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is glory and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy,
oh.
thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm is 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives your iniquity, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who steadfasts you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chill, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As the Father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures
forever. Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you, and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with us.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.